I can count on them to be there all the time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, not 40% on Wednesday, not 20%. When one of them don't show up, I know there's something wrong physically. I love people like that. And Brother Titus just got on preaching about taking your membership seriously, and these people take their membership seriously. And I really enjoy that. It's a blessing to this pastor. I know there's a lot of preachers. I've been pastoring here for a long time. I've been pastoring for almost 18 years now. God gave me two little lambs a few years back, and I've been pastoring them for a long time. The Bible says that he that doesn't provide for his own is worse than an infidel, so it's been quite a ride. But I've been pastoring the church in Toledo now just for a few months, and it's been great. We've been having a lot of visitors come. Every Sunday we have visitors. This past Sunday we had up to about 18 visitors at one time. So the Lord has been blessing us. They come from time to time. There are several families that have come pretty faithfully, and pray for them. Lord, open their hearts and their minds to be receptive unto the gospel, and they may feel the necessity to be a member of the Lord's church. Amen. He's got to join him, because I sure don't want to entice them or make them feel like they're supposed to be a member of the church. If the Lord don't join him, I don't want him. So we can do a lot of things to make him feel comfortable, and we do. We have very loving people there, and all of you that come and been with us, you've seen it firsthand, and they are not afraid to show their love towards you. All right, that's enough bragging on the Lord. Brother Asbury always says we're bragging on the Lord, but it's a blessing. All right, let's open our Bibles in the book of John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. Brother Asbury asked me a few months back about preaching in this conference. About the same time, the Lord impressed a message in my heart. He hasn't changed yet. Still the same. So I feel that this is the message that the Lord had me to preach today. But before we start preaching, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. Lord, I need your help. Help me, Lord, to forget myself, that I may see you. These people don't need to hear me. They need to hear you, Lord. So let me step aside and let the Spirit of God take control. Forgive us for we failed, and help us to honor you. And Lord, that you may be exalted above all, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak from the subject of the Word of God. The subject's been in my heart a lot lately, because there is a warfare going on today. The world wants to destroy everything that is godly, everything that involves the Word of God, everything that represents the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that represents the church. Once we destroy the Word of God, then the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes of no effect. Now, one of the few that were privileged to hear Brother Kissel preach in Spanish and in English, but I remember, and he remembers what I'm going to say. I remember the times that we had conferences in South America when Brother Kissel and Brother Mayfield and Brother Overby would come, and so many of the preachers would come, and I remember these great conferences that we had, and literally hundreds of people came to know the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we're so many that we did not have enough people in the church to deal with these people that were coming forward. What I was trying to say is this, that there was no gimmicks, there was no enticing, there was no candy being given away, there was no membership to a club that was set before them, but they came to hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. For some reason today we feel like we got to do something more. We got to add something to it. We got to make it excitement. But it's not about the exciting of what we can put before them. If the Lord doesn't excite them, there's nothing I can do to excite them. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of John that in the beginning was the Word. I'm going to speak about the Word of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This same Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by this Word. And without this Word, nothing or anything was made that is made today. In this Word, there was life, and the life of this Word was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The very next verse will be our first point, speaking about the Word of God. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. In order to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in His infinite grace and mercy and compassion saw fit to call men to do so. The angels of God would have been rejoicing to come and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would have taken the archangel Michael just a few seconds to fly over the entire world and preach the gospel to every creature. But God did not plan it that way. Every host in heaven would have gave everything they had to give a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, but God didn't allow him to do so. So he chose men, which were made in the image of God, out of the dirt of this world, to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Insignificant people that didn't amount to anything, to proclaim the greatest message that was ever to be given to humanity. I can never get over how God can use a man to bring a celestial message. I still can't get over how we can get on our knees and pray and talk to God.
Amen.
How can I talk to God? How can I bridge the gap between here in heaven and walk into the courts of glory and approach the throne of grace, and God listens to this piece of dirt? Many people think that the Word of God is just 66 books, 40 writers, 2,376 verses that begins with the book of Genesis and close with the book of the last things, which is called the Apocalypse or Revelations, that we have minor and major prophets, historical accounts, epistles and letters, and four gospels and so on and so on. But there is more to it.
Amen.
The letter killeth. You can memorize the entire Bible and it's still dying, go to hell. It is the Spirit that giveth life.
Amen.
When the Bible says there was a man sent from God, it means that God is the one that anointed him. He told the prophet, when you was in your mother's womb, I formed you, and I anointed you, and I called you to be a prophet for me. We don't make preachers. God sends them.
Amen.
We got a problem in this country today, that as long as you get a degree, you can be a preacher. I still remember when the first Baptist preacher came about, and she was a woman, the first woman Baptist preacher. Well, she has the education for it. She might have the education for it, but she's not sent from God.
Amen.
We got to go beyond those things that are hanging on the wall and look at the one that was hanging on the cross. There was a man sent from God. I want to first address the preachers. I know Brother Randy Tito did an excellent job last night. The Lord blessed him, telling about our responsibility as men of God. I'm going to go quickly because I don't want to take any of Brother McGahan's time. We know he needs a lot of time. But in Jeremiah 23:1, the Bible tells us, "Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." Many today take the ministry so lightly, and they preach the gospel that God did not send them to preach, and they're giving answer to things that don't exist in the Word. And so many times these men have a following because people have itching ears, and they will build to themselves teachers that will teach them those things that they want to hear. By the beginning of this Word, God gives us an example, and an excellent example of John the Baptist, as he came because there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not just a man, but God named him. I can always relate to Brother Mayfield when he came and preached the gospel to me. I can say that there was a man sent from God whose name was Del Mayfield, who came to the jungles of South America so that a person like me could hear the gospel and who could be drawn, because God loved me beyond every reason and purpose in my mind that I could imagine. I could never comprehend the love of God. And yet he saw fit to send a man to preach the gospel to me. He loved me when I was unlovable. He spoke to me when I wasn't looking for him. Open your Bibles in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13. There's a wonderful passage here that the Lord showed me last night about 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I said, well, if I can't sleep, I'm not going to waste any time laying there. So I got up and studied for a while. The Bible tells us in verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophet of Israel, the prophesying, say, thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. Can you preach a message that it doesn't come from God? Absolutely. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Have you seen Jesus? You know, we can make a wonderful message. We can spend a lot of time studying, get all your homiletic books and concordance and all of the different books that are written. And we can put a message completely together. Let me tell you something, preachers. And I put myself in it because this message is for me. This message is for me. God gave it to me. And if he doesn't touch me, he won't touch you. I know that. A sermon is just 30 minutes lullaby that puts people to sleep. But a message from God will touch your heart, will either make you glad or will make you mad, but it will make you do something, because it will accomplish that which God has sent to do. Amen. We can be scripturally correct. We could be homiletically perfect, but we could be totally out of the message from God. It could be just a man's message. So many times we preach messages so the other preachers can say amen to us. We're preaching to preachers. But the message from God goes beyond that. Thus says the Lord, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, you prophesy like foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made out the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. People, these prophets are not building the hedge that we're supposed to be building around the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be building these hedges with the word of God so that the devil and the wolf will not come in and destroy the flock. We're supposed to be watching over them. And if we cannot watch over them, then we have no business being behind that pulpit. The devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And at the end of the day, the shepherd will bring all the sheep and put him in the flock and set up a watchman over it. We owe him God, no less.
Amen.
I count it a privilege to be in front of those people in Toledo. They don't have to come and listen to me. Sometimes we feel that preachers, that people really have, I got something to say, you better come and listen to me. They don't. There's not a word in the Bible that says you got to come and listen to that preacher. He's really something. He says, come and hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
I was glad when they told me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is not a preacher's house.
Amen.
They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying the Lord saith, and the Lord has not sent them. Oh, there is so many of them today. The Lord said that. Did he?
For some reason, preachers feel that we got the right to decide what the Word of God means.
And yet the Scripture tells us that the Holy Scriptures of God are not for private interpretation. And yet, you go to the Christian bookstore today, and 99% of those books are nothing but trash. Men's imaginations, talking about God and what God is going to give you, and what God means by this, when really doesn't mean that. Because the Bible tells us that holy men of God wrote as the Spirit of God led them. Let me tell you something, the canon is closed. There is no more revelation given today. We got enough hard time trying to preach that which was already given. We don't need any new ones. So what are we supposed to do, Brother Raul? We are just messengers. Let me give an example so you understand where I'm coming from. What would you say about a mailman that comes to you and brings this letter? And just before he delivers it to you, he opens it up and said, wow, this is a little bit too harsh for you. Let me change it. It's not homosexual perverts. Let me change it. It's alternative lifestyle. It's not thieves and liars anymore. You are a victim of society. You are not lazy. You are a welfare recipient. You are not an abuser of mankind. You are an entrepreneur and you are a visionary. You don't need to hear this depressive message. God wants you to have everything. He did not save you to be poor. You're supposed to be the head, not the tail. After all, you are the child of the King. You heard that? Ask anything, he said, he's got to give it to you. And yet they can live like the devil. They can hang a little cross on their necks and they feel comfortable. God never called us to be successful, folks. One day when we stand before Him, this is the word that He's going to say. Come, you good. And successful? No. Good and faithful? Faithful servant into the joy of the Lord. Let us remember one thing. The messenger was not the light. He was not the light. I am not the light of this world. I cannot save anyone. I don't want that responsibility. Can you imagine if there were men that were depending on me to save them? God help me. I can't do it. I need a Savior myself. Some preachers think that the sun rises and sets on them. It's not them, it's God. It's about faithfulness, folks. Faithfulness delivering that message. You know what I would tell that mailman? Get your hands off my mail. Why is my mail open? Why are so many words out there covered up? Why is part of it missing? And yet the Church of the Living God has no problem with it. The Bible tells us to His own He came. That's the church, folks. We are the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground or the foundation of the truth. If the foundation is bad, the building won't stand. Amen. Let me tell you something. You can quote me on this. Any more than the truth is a lie. Amen. Any less than the truth is robbery. Amen. We can't do it. The book of Revelation tells us, don't add anything. Don't take anything away. It is very plain and simple. People say, all of these things are not written in stone. God's word is written in stone. It does not change. Amen. It never has. Amen. It never will. Amen. Oh, many of these people are preaching. They have a revelation, but it's not from God. Going back to the Gospel of John now. The same came for a witness in verse 7, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not the light. Oh, I will remember that. Pray for me. I need to remember that every day. Amen. I'm sent to be a witness of that light. Amen. That word was the true light. which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which he was born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. Each one of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ were born because God so purposed for us to be born, and it wasn't because mom and dad got lucky. It has nothing to do with it. It's not because they had this plan. We're going to have 3 kids. One of them is going to be a preacher. Has nothing to do with it. God, in his infinite will, before the foundation of the world, he already purposed us to be born preachers. And to be a messenger of the light that was about to come into this world.
Amen.
That's enough for preachers. How about the church? The church should be zealous to keep the entire counsel of God.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, let the glory of the Lord be in the church. I believe personally that everything that is done in this world should be done through the church. Because that is the only institution through which the Lord will get the glory. There is no other institution on this world that will take the preeminence of the Lord's church. We are talking about the bride of Christ, folks. This is the one that he came to die for. This is the bride that will stand before him one day, and he will present it to his Father clean and pure and chaste. Oh, we want to have a bride like that too, don't we? All of us fathers like to have a real nice bride for our children. I got 2 boys back there. Girls that are pure and clean and dedicated to the Lord. I pray for them when that's dead.
Amen.
We owe God no less.
Amen.
There is no other institution under heaven that has the authority to carry out, perform, and safeguard the Word of God. None. It is not for the church to question God's will, but to do it. Many churches are looking for entertainment. Oh yeah, come in. Let's give a basketball to all the black folks. Let's throw a baseball to all the white folks. And everybody else, let's give him a soccer ball. They'll all be happy. Right? But when Jesus sent the 70, he says, go ye, don't take anything with you except the word.
Amen.
When Paul wrote back to the church, he said, I want you to send me my coat. But most of all, the parchments, send me the word.
Amen.
People come to the church and ask me, what do you have for my children?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I don't have anything else, folks. I don't have a bag of tricks. I don't have any magician's training. I have nothing. I don't want it. Listen to me. If the world loves you, you are worldly. What you got for my children? Is that all you got? No, I don't have anything. I am just a messenger. I am pointing you to the light. Your children need to see the light. Without it, they'll die. And they'll be thrown in absolute darkness away from the presence of God. Ain't no baseball game. Ain't no basketball game. Ain't no soccer game. We'll be worth to exchange for the salvation of your children. Focus. Put your priorities in the right place. Our children are the only thing that we're going to take out of this world with us. Everything else will be left behind.
Amen.
I'm always reminded, last night about 2 o'clock, the Lord shared something with me. Now, I read the Bible several times over. And many times I read this verse, but I never seen it the way God showed me last night. In Matthew 19:13, when the little children came to him. Because the little children came to him, and he laid his hands on them and prayed for them, and then his disciples got angry. And push them away. Don't bother the master. He's got better things to do. He doesn't need kids bothering him right now. I got a problem with people that don't love children. I love children. They're the future of our churches, folks. We'll soon be gone. The Lord tarries, we'll all soon be gone. We're destined for 6 foot under. I know that. I am very well aware of it. Every time I drive by a cemetery, I can see a lot of dreams, a lot of visions, a lot of plans that came to an end. We got a plan for the future. Without a vision, people perish. We got to have a vision. And yet Jesus rebuked them. And he said, suffer the little children. Put up with them. Bear them. They're kids. Forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And said, oh, well, we don't forbid them. Oh, yes, we do when we put entertainment before them. We are stopping them with entertainment, and they can't see Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, they feel comfortable. I remember this fellow at work. He came one night and he said, man, I can't wait to go to church Sunday. And I thought, wow. Man, that's not very seldom you hear young people come up with that kind of statement. I can't. Why, you got a great preacher? Oh, no. You got a great youth leader? Oh, no. We got a basketball game going on.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they did? They forbid them to come to Jesus because they put a stumbling block in front of them.
Amen.
Let's go on. That's for the church. Church, don't ever think there's no people out there that don't believe the way we do. A lot of churches went by the wayside because they were not faithful enough to pray the Lord for a pastor to come to believe the Word of God. They said, well, they don't believe that way anymore. Yes, they do. You just got to be faithful not to accept anyone that will not preach the truth. You get down on your knees and you ask the Lord, we need a pastor, but we need your man.
Amen.
Nothing else will do.
Amen.
We won't compromise. Because after all, folks, this is not our business. This is the Lord's business. We got to conduct God's business the way God wants it to be done. He is the one with whom the Bible tells us we have to do. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. And He, the Word, dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We're getting to the holidays now, and everybody's going to talk about the baby Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem. My Savior is not a babe anymore. He's not laying in a manger. He's standing at the right hand of the Father, awaiting for my coming, as I am awaiting for His return. Do we really see that? Do we really comprehend the message here? The Word was made flesh. Can we just imagine for a minute the Lord of the universe leaving His ivory palace to come to this sinful world to take our place? Do we really understand the magnitude of the verse, for God so loved the world that He gave? Can we really measure the depth of that love? And yet He loved us. The Bible tells us with an everlasting love that goes beyond anything that we can comprehend. Because He was made flesh and dwelt amongst Emmanuel, God, amongst us. What else? We beheld His glory. You know, some way down the line, we have lost the glory of God. We have lost the respect for the house of God. We have lost the respect for the Word of God. A preacher used to be held in such esteem. When a preacher walked in a place, all the dirty language stopped.
Yeah.
And all the filthy jokes were gone because pastor so-and-so was there.
Yeah.
Today, the preacher lost wisdom.
Yeah.
The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, the Bible tells us. But my Word shall abide forever. It is the world that will condemn this world one day. Because God will open a book, and one of those books is the Word of God. Listen to me. There is a reckoning day coming, and this world will not change because my God is immutable. He's an unchangeable God. He will remain faithful to His Word. He does not lie. It's against His nature. He is the living Word that the Bible is talking about. The Creator of the universe. He is not a toy, folks. He's not an object. He's alive. People think he's a gopher. Go fetch me this. Go fetch me that. Give me this. Give me, give me, give me, give me. And we lost sight of that awesomeness of his presence. In closing now. Listen to what he is. And I'm going to fall short. I know there's so many more, but just as an example, he's a word of life to the dead, folks. He's a word of salvation to the lost. He's a word of wisdom to the simple. He's a word of guidance to the wanderer. He's a word of joy to the melancholic. He's a word of forgiveness to the guilty. And I know what that feels like. He's a word of freedom to the bound, a love of love to the hateful, a word of peace to the fearful, a word of hope to the hopeless. He is the Word of God. Jesus is His name. He first came as a child. He's coming back as a conqueror. He came as the Lamb of God, but He's coming back as a lion. He is King one day through the walls of Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, but one day He's coming back riding on a white stallion. He shall consume His enemies with the sword of His mouth, and the blood will run 6 foot high down the valley of Megiddo, which we call Armageddon. Listen to me. At the mention of His name, demons tremble. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And of His kingdom, there shall be no end. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Do you know Him today? Somewhere we lost that awesomeness. Our children need to hear that. It brings goosebumps all over me. It just takes your breath away every time you think about what Jesus is to us. He's the Word, folks. And He dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory. Do you behold His glory now? Isaiah said, and I saw the Lord in the day of King Uzziah dying, high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. And lo, He said, I am an undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the Lord of glory. Oh, that we should see that. Let us not lose that awesomeness. Amen. We talk about the Word, how precious it really is. This will kill you, because the letter killeth. But the Spirit that comes with it, folks, will give you life. Amen. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It'll come and rip you apart. It takes you to pieces, and it shows you your condition. And it shows you where you went wrong. And it shows you the hope of glory. Amen. I pray the Lord may help you today, as He has helped me. I hope the Lord taught you today like He has taught me. And God help us all as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God bless you. Amen.